you get the show's edit, and Angela from the beginning is like, no, I meant, I said I wanted to work with that group. And we're like, that's not what we saw. But at the same time, we didn't see everything.
Like a BB moment, which is like a beautiful black moment. Did we get any of those in this episode?
Black.
We have a chaotic vibe moment.
Chaotic vibe moment. And you're watching Black Vibe Reality.
Black Vibe Daddy.
And those who love us.
Do you want to talk about the Angela situation?
Oh, I mean, we're here now. Might as well, you know? You know what I'm saying?
All right. We got that episode of Big Brother 26. I'm so happy that I'm here with Chappelle. Recap, kick back. Yes. And wrap up podcasts to talk about what in the world did we experience last night?
Nicole, so this is hard because as Big Brother fans, we know that we want good feeds. Mm-hmm. We want crazy people to like be fighting and stuff like that. Like you want that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a line I think at some point we have to draw between like good feeds and toxic people who don't deserve to be on television. Mm-hmm. And I think Angela has now decided to straddle that line for 2 weeks in a row. Mm-hmm. I think that her first breakdown that she had with Matt was crazy. It was Big Brother crazy though, so we liked it. But at the same time, it was very much like this older woman really picking on a kid, you know, like, don't get me wrong. They were at odds in the house, but her reaction to him was not warranted. It was not. So it's hard because you want more of that. But also, as black people, we can't keep giving Karens a platform because that's the same shit that they do in real life. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. With the whole Angela Matt blow up, I was not vibing with Angela. Like, I yeah. know it was like intense television and feeds. It was something to talk about. I get it. But watching that, I think I was so put off because now Matt is like, I think 20, I don't know.
25,
a,
I think.
He's a man. He's a yeah. man for yeah. sure. But it did feel like he just was in another planet. Like, yes. he had no clue what she was even talking about. She doesn't even try to talk to him. She drags him. The thing that I was like, okay, sure, let's do this. It could be a game strategy. But once she started going in on the crazy eyes, it's like, we don't have to talk about people's looks. Like, it's yeah. something he does more than his looks, but
exactly.
you can tell he has no awareness. Mm-hmm. of how his eyes are when he's expressing himself. And I hate the thought that when you point out something like that about someone, it's like making fun of someone's laugh. They can't
yeah.
control that. And it's such a joyful, lively thing that once you make someone self-conscious about it, like, oh my God, I can't mm-hmm. laugh or do this without someone then putting a label on me.
Yeah, and this is on national television, too. You know, so there's another, this is a very human moment that Matt is experiencing because he doesn't know. He doesn't know. This is theater for Angela. She even went upstairs. She has slept on it. She has practiced this speech, you know. So she comes out and says she is doing this to make a grand display. She thinks this is Dan's funeral. You know what I'm saying? She thinks this is her mm-hmm. big moment. And so for him, he's not in that mode. So he looks up. It's like 7 in the morning, like on the West Coast. And so they're eating breakfast. She comes downstairs and just starts unleashing on him until he's confused. He's legit looking like, did I do something? Is there any reason why? And then she starts saying crazy eyes. And he's like, damn, do I have crazy eyes? Like, y'all ain't tell me I had crazy eyes. Well, crazy eyes. Am I crazy eyes?
No.
Right.
He didn't even know she was talking about him. That's
yeah.
so unaware he is about his facial
yeah.
expressions, which again is like, that's how you should be, honestly.
Yeah.
And the fact now, I mean, honestly, Matt seems so DeLulu. I'm sure he's going to be fine. I think he's going to be fine. But if she did that to a different type of person, that
uh-huh.
would have fucked up their, like, how they view themselves and act. And, like, I hate that.
Yeah.
I hate that she's capable of that.
Yeah. And then we saw a lot of the edit showing him crying and stuff like that. So they really did. The show went out of their way to paint Angela as, like, she is bullying
yeah.
him. And he is, like, a heroic, like survivor of the Angela storm, right?
Yes.
We get through that. The Facebook group, all the people, they hate this Karen. They hate yes. her so much because she's bullying the heartthrob of the season, the person who's supposed to be here for a showman. They're telling
him. Who is Asian, by the way?
Yeah, and they don't know. And they don't know.
This is my thing. That the Big Brother fans are like, yeah, we got healthy. The jock, da-da-da, would have done this. Maybe he would have, but I still am like, are we talking about him as if he is like, who was the comp threat last season?
A like Matt. Or Brent, or, yeah, like, or Matt Klotz, you know, even, but even Matt Klotz has probably got like a lot more redeeming. Like, you know, like, I feel like they put this like pretty boy comp beast, yes. Like, persona on him and said he's the avatar for the things we don't like in the house. We don't like the guy who comes in who everything's handed to him because the production loves him. They gave him a showman's. He's gonna win all the challenges or whatever. But he's Asian. They don't even put a lot of Asian men on the show in the first place. And so it was like, the fan base was like adamantly against him. Yeah. But it's bad that the editor made it to where people who would normally not be rooting for an Asian man in Big Brother were rooting for him so much because they were so sick of Angela.
It was so, it's so weird. It's so, I feel like my world flipped. Like,
yes, yes, exactly.
That's what it feels like. And I'm like, what is happening in Big Brother 26? All right, let's go to the more current events of Angela. So, Angela, is all the black people outside?
I think most of them were outside.
Cedric, T-Core, Chelsea. Where's Chelsea?
Yeah.
These people almost are never around each other. And
because we know better.
Everyone else is in the kitchen. Angela spots it. She walks over to where Quinn is, which he's alone. You can say whatever you want to him right now. Mm-hmm. But what she decides to do is go over and say, look outside. Looks outside. She says, that's the group. That's the group. Now, what would you have thought that's the group would mean?
See,
I
was watching it.
If you're a white person.
That's the thing. Because that's the hard part, right? And we even see that on the show where T-Core is trying to explain to her, like, as a black person, if you point out a group of black people for no reason, we're going to assume that it has something to do with the group of black persons. You know, like, what is it about us that you made us, that you pointed at us? We've never heard you referring to us as a group before. And now all of a sudden that's the group. The group of what? The group of whom? You know, and so my natural instinct would have been like, what you mean? You know what I'm saying? Like, my head is thinking, why are you singling out those black folks?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the question I have is it now my responsibility to pry and say, tell me more? Yeah. Or do I immediately go and be like, hey, just so y'all know, that person kind of looking at y'all. Like, to Quinn's credit, Quinn did not bring up race. Quinn went and repeated back what she said.
Which is what people do in this game. I think it's mm-hmm. fair. I think how he played it of like, oh, Angela already ruined one group. She's not doing it again. I'm going to out her. Haha, nefarious. He's thinking game.
Mm-hmm.
She said she was thinking game. He finally tells the black person who has a whole different world perspective, plus has the context of just recent seasons of mm-hmm. when the black people are pointed out. And, oh my God, it spirals. It spirals because Angela cannot deal. So, I think... I hate how she acted when confronted. She really wanted to put this on Quinn.
I don't want to breeze past the idea that production then goes and starts cutting the feed.
Yes.
So, but when something like this happens, a lot of us are glued to it because we want to get context too. Because we want to make sure that, hey, maybe she is targeted. We don't know. So we saw that. And then all of a sudden, the feeds are cutting. So they're not even letting us make our own opinion or draw our own conclusion about the way Angela moves. So we don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
So we get the show's edit, and Angela from the beginning is like, no, I said I wanted to work with that group. And we're like, that's not what we saw. But at the same time, we didn't see everything because of that, because they were cutting it. So I'm already looking at whatever this is we're getting on the TV show version of these events. I'm taking it with a grain of salt. Because I know that at some point they pulled her into the diary room and they talked to her. We know that for a fact. We know that they cut the feed, so we couldn't see all the actions going back and forth. And we know they probably talked to Quinn, too, because it was very tense when the feeds came back up. So everybody knew that there was something. So for me, knowing that I didn't see everything and knowing that production cut it, it does lead me to believe that there was something more there than just that's the group I wanted to work with.
Yep. It's a possibility. Who knows? T-Core, she at the door listening, which is what I would do. And then finally she was like, let me just come inside. She just asked straight up. Angela's doing the waterworks, the huffing and puffing. And she's just like, just tell me what happened. Angela starts telling it as if she just came from war. And T-Core's just like, yeah, she puts her perspective on it of like, you know, when you point out black people like this, she says, don't put it like that. She interrupts her, talks over her.
She tells her to shut up. She basically says, like, stop, don't say that. Do not say that. I literally can't deal with you saying that. And it just bursts into tears. She completely shut it down and using white lady tears to do it.
Yes. And T-Core was like, I ain't putting up with this. She just left. Good she for left. Her. That was ridiculous. And then this grown grandma leaves the bathroom, immediately sees baby Cedric. The other day said, I'm sure like hundreds of people died on the Titanic. And someone had to be like, pretty sure it was thousands. Like
this boy is a child. He might be 21, but that is a baby. That is a baby.
Baby. He's learning new things every second. And this woman comes. She grabs him by the shoulder, crying in his face. And like, just know that I would never. And it's like, this is the performance that we're talking about. Why can't we have a conversation? Cedric is not aware of anything. And part of me, and this is just like, me being a black woman, I was like, how much is it that Angela ran to the first black person she saw? And how much is it is like, I'm not going to be able to get past the black women. Let me go to black.
Like, and look, and no disrespect, but a biracial black man as well. You know, she's like, he has a white mama. Listen to me.
Look at her with the bluest eyes.
She grabs him and she's like, listen to me. I love you. Do you hear me? I love you. I would never do. He goes, I didn't even say you was racist. Because again, he does not know what the hell she's talking about. He has no clue what's going on.
Say it to someone who actually knows and it might actually matter.
Right.
What are you doing? So my line of thinking the whole time was like, oh, Angela's smart. She literally just said that group to try and get away with it and all this. Then someone pops up with a live feed clip.
Mm-hmm.
Angela's alone in the bathroom. And she said, oh, T-Core, she can't think for herself. She has to check with Chelsea for everything. Mind you, Chelsea's the HOH.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you probably should be checking with the HOH in week two. Why would you go against the HOH? And she was like, that must be the group. And then she says, and I won't work with that group. But she says it in the net. She's so nasty.
Right.
And I'm like, what do you mean you want to work with that group? Because it still sounds like you want to go.
Yeah, she's like, I resent that group because I'm not in it. And you can feel the resentment. And so, like, if I'm Quinn and somebody's like, that's the group, you're kind of like, oh, you know, that doesn't give me, now, let's go ingratiate ourselves. And, like, you know, maybe we have a team meeting later on, meet me in the HOH room, blah, blah, blah. That gave me, like, nah, that's, you see them, that's the group. You know what I'm saying? So I put you on that one. And then the thing about the show, too, is that, again, I can't trust the edit. Because we get Angela saying from jump, like, no, I want to work with that group. And we see her in the diary room saying, no, I want to work with that group. But we don't know when that diary room was filmed.
No.
She could be retconning this whole thing. And then we get Quinn saying, look, I was being messy when I said it. But just because he was being messy, one, doesn't mean that he was playing on the race element of it.
No.
But two, I also don't even know if I believe that. Because why would I believe Quinn's diary room if I don't believe Angela's? In my mind, production shut this down. Mm-hmm. They saw what it could have meant. And they told them, we're not doing that. Walk it back. And so they both did. That's how I see the situation.
Do you think that's the right way to go about it from a production standpoint?
No. But I think Big Brother is one of those shows that people don't remember is on until they see it in the tabloids or in TMZ or until it's on. Like, I was on Twitch the other day, and we were all talking about Big Brother because we're all Big Brother fans. But some of the people that are on my Twitch stream, they don't watch Big Brother. They just know me from Twitch. So they're like, Big Brother still comes on? Like, they don't, I'm like, we're 26 seasons in and people don't know that this show is still on TV. So CBS is probably thinking, no publicity is better than bad publicity. You know, sometimes people say that any publicity is good publicity. Nah, Big Brother is probably like, no, we'd much rather nobody's talking about the show because we have this strong fan base that's going to be there every year. The show is dirt cheap to produce. And so as long as we don't piss nobody off, we can do this every year. Mm-hmm. But we saw Taylor season. I mean, headlines every week based on that kind of stuff. The cookout that season, headlines every week because so many white folks was mad. Like, this must be racist. All the black people are working together, you know? And so they're like, we need to shut that down. We have to shut that down. And so I think they're trying to protect themselves. Absolutely. I don't think they give a damn about protecting the house guests at all, but I know they want to protect their own show and the brand, and they don't want that kind of stuff permeating because way back in BB15, they messed it up really bad, and they've been trying to fix it ever since.
Got it. Yeah. I wish the live feeds continued. I just want more context, but, like, so the episode basically wraps up with Angela leaving the diary room, which is where you talk to production. She pulls T-Core for a conversation and apologizes.
Yeah, on her own power, right? Nobody told her. Nobody coached her. Nobody said, Angela, go to the black woman and make nice. Nobody said that. At least that's what we're forced to believe. But do you believe that?
Oh, I'm asking her that immediately. Right.
Immediately. Could you just wake up all of a sudden and decide, I handled that wrong? Because she was saying all the right stuff. I didn't give T-Core a chance to process the things that I was saying to her. I shut her down with my emotions and didn't allow her to breathe. All the stuff that we're saying at home, Angela was magically regurgitating to us. And I'm thinking, it's almost like somebody inside said, Angela, we know that you felt like you were being attacked, but you were not. Mm-hmm. So why don't you go and apologize? You should apologize now because this could become very tumultuous for you. And it'd be in your best interest to go apologize. Mm-hmm. And then we saw a completely different Angela, Nicole. It was like night and day. This is not the same person that was yelling at Matt. This is not the same person that just grabbed Cedric and shook him like a rag doll to make sure that she knew that she loved the black parts of him too, you know? So I just have a hard time believing that she just woke up and decided to do that. Not to say that she's a bad person for not just having that natural instinct, but what is production showing us? Are you showing us what you want us to believe Angela is doing? And like how they're handling the show, or are you manufacturing these moments and now we're forced to believe whatever you're showing us? Because I don't think that's fair either.
Yeah, I think I'm not actually too opposed of some apology coaching, because I honestly think
more people
need it. And I know it probably really was giving more T-Core a peace of mind, which I care much more about. Like, she was going so smooth in this game and then had to deal with that. Like, I was so mad for her. But she handled it so well. So, but you know what? I think at the end of the day, like, first of all, I think probably Angela isn't as smart as I thought she was. Because, And at the end of the day, right now the house is leaning towards keeping her over Lisa, which I would switch it. I would switch it.
Yeah, just to be safe. It's time. How much are we giving these Karens, you know?
They're going to give them a lot, and I don't understand. Yes, Lisa's annoying with her glitter, but also Lisa is just trying her...
You wipe that smile off your face, Nicole. Wipe your smile off your face, Lisa. Okay. She said, Lisa, stop that stupid smile on your face. I said, now damn, Angela.
I think she's trying her best. I think she's highly not self-aware. She's a bad roommate. She's a terrible roommate.
Awful roommate.
I think I would, my game probably would be a little bit in jeopardy because I'm an awful roommate. Awful. I live alone now. It's great. And sometimes even I get tired of myself of, like, why don't we clean something? But my thing is, like, Lisa, she's mostly kind. Like, she's just mostly chilling. Tell her to stop it with the glitter. It'll be okay. And I just hate that Angela makes fun of her walk in front of everyone and is just then just going about her. Like, it's such catty girl.
It is.
And I know people are like, this is so fun. Not to me. Like, I hate Mean Girls. I hate Mean Girls so much.
Yeah. It's bad because it's true. Because she's such a mean girl. Like, and you expect at some age that will wear off. But no. Then to sit here and say that this is someone's grandmother and they on here showing their entire ass. That's why I refuse to stop. Like, I'm going to label this as Karening until I get tired of it. Because these same tactics work in the real world for white women. When they get called on stuff, they start crying and shuts everything down. Like, you can't approach anything. You can't talk anything because this woman, and now you find yourself, like T-Core was doing, coddling and soothing her. Like, you know, no, you're fine. Like, you know, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bring this to you. We see Cedric. Like, I didn't need to be like Quinn's apologizing. Everybody's apologizing to Angela, and she did the thing, you know? And so I'm like, as much as I like chaos and stuff like that in the Big Brother house, at some point we have to draw a line in the sand on bullying tactics and stuff, you know, where she's like, Lisa, wipe that stupid smile off your face.
It was a smirk.
She wasn't. Yeah.
She was like, I guess they're gonna go talk. And she said, "What?" And I was like, when she did that, I know that she was just more so embarrassed that she was in trouble and had to go talk to someone in front of her. Because, like, she wasn't smirking. She was just like, "You're still not better than me." And it's like,
right,
you're 54, competing with. I don't know how old Lisa is, but a glitter chef. look at your life.
but I think you're right, though. I think once she got reprimanded, because it's clear that she did, there's a reason why she's this tense about this. If it just got back to you that Quinn said something, you go shut it down and be done with it. Yeah. But production was brought in. They talked to her about it. Yeah. And so now she's kind of like, she's the kid in class who got in trouble. And so now all the teachers fussed at them. And so the other kids, don't look at me. You know, like, that's exactly how I felt. Like, don't sit over here by me. Don't sit by me. I don't want you by me. I'm okay. Like, you're not better than me. And so that kind of energy, I'm like, we can't allow that to be rewarded in the game of Big Brother, because they get rewarded by that kind of stuff in life all the time. Mm-hmm. And honestly, had she not had that moment, I think she would have won the casual viewing audience back over, because it did look like, from what we were shown, that she had a normal moment where she was talking about something, Quinn misconstrued it, and then, you know, it came back on her, and this poor sweet lady was just like in disarray because, oh my God, people always dragging race into stuff, blah, blah, blah. But when she snapped at Lisa, people were like, no, I still see it. I still see it. Yeah.
It's just there. This whole conversation also just reminds me, the book, An Adult of Emotionally Immature Parents, you should read that.
Ooh, okay.
It gives really good insight to people who act out when you think, aren't we past this stage?
We're grown-ups now. I think, as an educator, I think all educators should probably read a book like that, because sometimes you just be shocked at, oh, this is where your kid gets this from. This is why they act like this. This is learned behavior. You're still like this at your big ass age, you know? So I'm gonna bookmark this one right now on the Kindle.
It gives you very powerful insight into how other people's brains work. I don't know. I hated that the whole episode ended with T-Core basically doing some washing, some bad image washing for Angela, of being like,
yeah,
I know that she's just a kind person. It was giving Taylor Hale.
Yeah.
And Tyler. Mm-hmm. And Kyle. Yeah. How much
Kyle, yeah.
Really, like, it's on him to do the work, but, you know, da-da-da.
Mm-hmm. And that's what those white tears do. They put you in a situation where you're the victim, but now this person is crying and acting like a victim so much that you have to now move yourself. You have to decenter yourself and center them, because you cannot move on now, because you've now hurt this person from their perspective, right? And so now everything you do is it's a personal attack on them. So now we see people like T-Core being like, reassuring us that Angela is a nice, sweet lady who just got caught up and said the wrong thing and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, T-Core, we got the feeds. And that's where Big Brother is always tiptoeing around, is that those live feeds, we see it. So when Angela comes out the house, whenever that is, it probably won't be this week, because it looks like for some reason they want to get rid of Lisa. But if Angela comes out the house, Yeah, she's going to get confronted with, one, a lot of crazy people who've been doxing her at her job and leaving horrible reviews. Mm-hmm. That's not great. But she's also going to get confronted with the truth. And something that she can't cry her way through is that we saw some of this behavior. We saw the way you treated Matt, and we saw his reaction to it. And so even if you didn't treat him like really poorly or whatever, look at the effect of what you did, mm-hmm. you know, and the effect of what you did to T-Court, you know. So mm-hmm. you can try to soothe this all you want, but eventually it's going to come out.
It's been 2 weeks. How do you do all this? And this
million years.
Okay. Maybe we don't know what Angela's intentions were, but my thought is this is a long game. And this lady has shown that she can't help but show
mm-hmm.
certain sides of herself. So we'll know before she's evicted. We'll probably have more set of what kind of mindset she has. So,
as a gamer, like someone who enjoys the strategy games like this, when you have an Angela, you don't vote them out. You keep them as long as you can because you sit that next to that person at the end and you beat them because nobody likes them because they've done crazy stuff like this throughout. However, yeah, it's again, should we be rewarding this kind of behavior? But also, it's very dangerous to do something like that too, because the way this person is a loose cannon on other people, your time could come up as well. You know, Quinn was her favorite person in the world, and now she's ready to kill him. You know, it happens. So
she turned on Lisa, her mm-hmm. one out. Never forget that Angela's closest ally was Lisa. And now look what happens. Anyone who is comfortable around Angela is going to get bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the thing. You keep the pet snake, but when it bites you, you can't act surprised.
Only group conversations with her. They were talking maybe last night or the other night, and they were just shooting the shit about some random stuff. And Angela just got up and she looked at them. It was T-Court, Chemo, and Leah, and she was just like, thank you so much for this, guys. It's just a break. And it's like, this is what is usually going on.
Yeah.
Like, Mackenzie and Rubina, all those girlies, they're just showing off each other's clothes.
Yeah, like, they're chilling.
It's you.
The problem is you. Mm-hmm.
The heaviness to shit.
Yeah, it's you. You did this. Week one, you were the HOH, and you acted like your back was against the wall. And this week, your back was against the wall, but it was due to your actions. So, God forbid Angela take accountability for what she's actually done in the house so far. No, she's not going to. She's just going to cry, and we're going to cover it up because that's the kind of show we're trying to have here. And I do want to say something to Quinn as well. Quinn, if you did use this, if you knew that this woman, like, let's say you did know. I've been giving you the benefit of the doubt that you didn't know. This is not okay. You know, if you knew that this woman was, if you knew that this woman was using these black people, or trying to target them because they were black, you need to go directly to the source, go to the production right then and be like, hey, I don't like this or something like that or whatever. Make sure you get that cleared up, because now it's starting to look like you took this out of context for game purposes. You know, due to his last DR, I saw a lot of the feedback on Twitter was that people, because he said, oh, I was being messy. Well, people were like, wait, so you were playing with these people's black ass lives and identities to be messy? Because if you didn't think she was targeting them because they were black, what did you go say? And I'm like, I never got that from Quinn.
Never said that.
Yeah, he never said that. I never got that from Quinn.
It was black. She saw them as a group and was targeting.
Said, that's the group. Right, exactly. So I've been seeing a lot of discourse, and people have been like, well, y'all are being really too easy on Quinn. I will say this and go on record and say that. It's not okay. You don't use people's identity in a game. You don't. So if it's a game move, then no, Quinn, that's not cool. If you're just doing that because you don't, you know, but that's not what I got from Quinn. So maybe I'm wrong, but that's not what I got from him. I thought this was honestly, he said, that's the group. And it could have meant whatever, because Angela won. She said it that kind of way. And two, she did not specify why she was pointing it out. And it felt like, and like from my perspective and from yours, that she was targeting them for a reason that had to do with their identity. But I've been seeing, like I said, I've been seeing mixed content on Twitter about like whether or not this is Quinn being malicious.
So confused by that, by the way, that take.
Yeah,
we can talk this out if you have the time, because
I got time.
So, all right, using people's identities for game is very interesting, and honestly, I'm like, who's saying this. Like, I will admit, I have seen some black people say it. But others, I'm like, I feel like it's a white talking point of just like, oh, you bring race into it, then you're using, like, the race card. My thing is, I'm not mad at how Quinn went about it. He did not wait. I think in the same day, he told someone, which is not what has happened in the past. Michael Bruner,
I think he waited
until it was working for him, and him and Brittany died with that's not what it was. But it's like, you wanted to make sure Kyle went home. You used the veto on Brittany, left Taylor there,
left her on the block, yeah.
And your target, Kyle, who you outed for that just like what, a day ago, now all of a sudden he's home. It's like, how was that not for the benefit? I don't think Quinn going to the other player is using it as game, but like, it is part of the game, you know. That's my thing. I guess that's like the hard thing. It's like, when if this game is just about human beings and whether we like each other or not, or if you win a competition, then who can say what is or isn't off game?
I think that's a valid point. Especially when, like, people group together for different reasons. We've seen people group together because they're from the same city, from the same town, because they have the same religious backgrounds and stuff like that. People group together for whatever reasons. And so I think that you take people's whole being into consideration when you decide if you're going to work with them or not. And a lot of times that includes their ethnicity and their race and things of that nature. I think that, you know, making a concerted effort to be like, we are going to eradicate all the white people from the house. It's like, no, that's not the same as saying, I plan on working with the black people as much as I can. You know, those are not the same conversations. And I think for Kyle was like, we need to get the black folk out because they're probably working together because they're black. And I don't want the cookout to happen again. Those were Kyle's words, not mine. You know, this situation felt like it was leading to that. Like, hey, that's the group. And it was all the black folk. And so if Quinn went out there and said, hey, just heads up, it might be, you know, y'all are looking like a group and I don't want y'all to go down for something like this. If he tells Secor and it comes from a place of like general, like understanding of the game and their standpoint and their identities, then I think it's fine. Yeah. I think that Twitter fans aren't big fans of Quinn and they were looking for a reason to pile on Quinn.
I've seen people hating on him.
Exactly. And I think that was the thing that was like, okay, now we can drag Quinn because he pulled a Michael Bruner, is basically what they were saying. And his diary room where he said, I was being messy in like such a lighthearted way in comparison to what Angela's like acting like in the house, what we know T-Core is experiencing in the house and what we are seeing at home, it did make it look like it was a little bit more nefarious than it was just, hey, I was looking out for the black folks, or I was trying to make sure that nobody started that. So I understood where the complaint came from, but I want to be very clear. I don't agree with it. I don't think that was the case, and that's okay. Like, people can look at it different ways because we don't know what happened because the feeds kept cutting.
Yeah, I was being messy. So that's the thing that people are hanging on. I just wonder when that was actually said.
Exactly. We don't see we can't trust the show, and that's what I'm really getting at here, is that I can't trust, because when Angela's DR, I'm rolling my eyes. I'm like, no, they didn't coach you up, they didn't punish, they didn't reprimanded you for what you did, and now you in here acting different because she's acting one way in the DR, she's not acting the same way outside of the DR. But I would say the same about Quinn. When she's confronting him, he looks like almost like a deer in the headlights, like, well, I mean, Angela, you said it. You know, like, you said, what are you mad at me for?
Said it. And she's like, no.
You know what you're doing. Yeah, exactly. And he's like, but you did say it, you know?
Like, you said it. Okay, I wonder, the real tell will be what his outfit was.
Is he wearing the DR outfit? Yeah.
Do you want me to take the time right now to look at it?
If you want to, listen. I'm really just more, up to me, I'm kind of like, if they reprimanded Quinn, or even if Angela has her big breakdown and Quinn starts to do exactly what everybody else is doing, which is soothe Angela, then he's also incentivized to go in the DR and say, it was me. You know what I'm saying? I will take the brunt of this. I will now be the blame because I don't want Angela to be, you know, if I do believe her and what she's saying, then mm-hmm. yeah, I don't want Angela to feel like I'm like she's being targeted because of something that she didn't do, or anybody's trying to call her a racist. It's very easy for people to try to take that burden off of her. So again, I'm not saying Quinn is innocent, but I could see a world where his DR doesn't match exactly what he was talking about in the moment. So that's just me. I don't know. I saw the complaints, but I'm kind of like, I'd rather him say something than nothing.
Yeah.
You say something.
For sure. Or maybe yeah. they were like, oh, we're going to put this in there in order to, you know, have a lighthearted ending. Because this yeah, is like a show where people are covered in paint.
Yeah.
And feathers and shit.
Yeah, I think that's, but I saw that was the thing that tipped the scale really, and people really latched on to was Quinn's last confessional, because it really made light of the moment. But as we saw, it wasn't a light moment for Angela and the way she responded. It obviously is not a light moment for Black folks. If we ever feel like damn, we can't play the game, because every time you see any four Black people together, we automatically are a target. But I think with all the things that we saw in the episode, it's hard to really say. And so that's why I said I don't really take the episode at face value. I think we just have to look at these people's actions moving forward. And Angela been giving us Karen energy this whole time. So in my mind, it's very easy to expect this from her. It's not my fault that she's been acting like this. She's been acting like this. And so that's how I look at her. I look at her through the lens of this lady be Karening, you know?
For sure. Oh, I just need an outfit.
Do a quick outfit Queen. Check.
Because they're wearing the nerd outfits from
they are.
The veto. So this happened right after the veto. But does Quinn do his DR in that?
He's wearing the burgundy sweater and the plaid pants in the DR, is from what I can tell on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then she looked so, oh my God, she walked away. Okay, we got him in there.
Yeah.
During...
Okay. See, that's what I'm saying. People took that and was like, I was being nefarious, you know, blah, blah, blah. I was scheming XYZ. And it was like, so obviously he used that, you know, to his advantage. Personally, I don't agree. I feel mm-hmm. like you could just say you could easily be saying that because of what we just talked about. Angela mm-hmm. just threw a whole fit. Production has fussed at her. They probably fussed at him, too. And said, if you don't have any concrete evidence that that's what she was talking about, don't say it. Walk it back, you know.
But he didn't say it was for the thing.
And he did it.
It's a game move.
And that's exactly how I feel, too. He didn't say it.
He's playing a game, and then this lady can't handle a Black mm-hmm. woman being like, these are my feelings.
Right.
He didn't use mm-hmm. T-Core's feelings. She simply shared them, and Angela...
Mm-hmm. Took it as an offense to her. Exactly. It's like you're acting guilty. That's what you're acting like. If you really want to talk about it, T-Core says her feelings and you automatically got defensive. It sounds like you got something to be defensive about, ma'am. You see what I see. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Because I feel like I was losing it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he was in that outfit, though, in the beginning.
Yeah, the only one I saw was the burgundy plaid yeah. situation. But when they cut away from it, he's wearing like a blue shirt, right? Like yeah. immediately after, he's standing in the kitchen in like the blue shirt with the button yes, down,
with
I think.
The, like,
so I'm like, when was this?
When yeah. was it?
But that's the same outfit he's wearing when he's talking to T-Core and then by the pool.
Okay. And that the was much
the,
earlier?
The sweater? Well, that's the sweater outfit. When
yeah,
he's telling them, like,
I see
you
it
know.
Now.
Yeah.
At the very beginning of the episode.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This is then if he's wearing this outfit mm-hmm. I'm telling T-Core he doesn't know how bad
yeah.
this is gonna get. He's just like, I made a game move telling T-Core mm-hmm. about what Angela said. He's being excited because he's like, I can't believe Angela would be so dumb
mm-hmm.
to do this, especially when you already outed one of my alliances. Like, why do I want to work with you? That's her
yeah.
miscalculation. Like, this is all Angela.
It is. It is. And that's why, Nicole, we can't let her go yet. Because if she wasn't doing this, what would we be doing? What would we even talk about?
I would be talking about talking about so much. First of all, Quinn, he said that the first time he came into the house, he thought T'Kor is the most beautiful woman. And then on top of that, Tucker already said that she was beautiful. She a taken woman. Mm-hmm. But I love this for T'Kor.
I do too. Also, the Tucker and Quinn and Leah love triangle is fun to watch as well.
Oh my god. The girl was betting. She was putting eggs in every basket, and right now is the basket empty?
The basket is empty. There's a hole in the basket. Empty. They told her the same thing they told everybody else. We have a showman in the house for you. It'll work out for you.
Yeah.
She came in, she saw Quinn, and she said, not this one. Must be the other one. Okay. She tried with Cam for a while. She said, nope, not Cam. It's Tucker. And Tucker don't want no parts of her.
Now, how do you feel as a black man? Because I know I felt some type of way when she said this. She said that she wasn't interested in Cam and called him Dusty.
She called him Dusty. I was like,
you can't do that. We do that.
What does that mean? Yeah, that's like, yeah, you don't even know what that means, ma'am.
Call black men Dusty? I don't think you can.
I don't think she could call him Dusty. I was like, you know those tweets would be like, what's not racist but feels racist? Because I will go on record right now, hard stance, that's not racist. Comma, but this is a change that I kind of felt like.
It's too microaggressive.
Yeah, it's very comfortable. It's very comfortable.
Because, like, for me, when I'm thinking Dusty, you have to really understand blackness. And it's like, where's his shape up? Like,
yeah,
what,
there's a line between Dusty and Ashy, you know, like, and you really can't call me Ashy. You cannot call me Ashy.
White people do not care about. So why is this in your lexicon for a black man?
Do you call white people Dusty too, Leah?
That's what I want to ask. If Cam's Dusty, then
also Cam is very well put together. You know what I'm saying? Like he's very put together. No, I don't really understand.
He has his hair's well kept. I think he's one of those baby oil niggas. Like, he's just always
sexy, flexy ass R&B niggas. Yeah, so, for sure.
And that's also like, I feel like you misused Dusty. Therefore, you really can't.
I was like, who are you talking about? Yeah, I think, and even poor Chelsea, she's sitting on the edge of the bed. She kind of looks at her too, like, what?
Yeah.
She literally says, what are you talking about?
Exactly, because it's too comfortable. And honestly, I think there's a little theory that Chelsea was feeling Cam herself.
I didn't know that, but I do know this. I do know sometimes they do get comfortable. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they catch themselves talking like us. Mm-hmm. And it might have just been she was having a sister girl moment. You know, she thought she was
She was trying to.
She was trying to be like.
Chelsea was like,
wait, what just happened? You cannot say that. You know,
anyways.
Like, you cannot, yeah, like, shut that down. So, yeah, very interesting word choice from Leah.
Yes.
Especially because she probably had a shot with Cam. She does not have a shot with Tucker.
No.
No.
But she knows that now.
He's made it very clear.
He's like, please don't stress me. I'm
please
trying
stop
to
talking.
Leave.
Yeah, please stop talking to me.
The producers are like, where's show bands?
Listen, Kenny got them pineapples in his bio. You never know.
Oh my god, I forgot about that.
I will never forget about that. Seared into my memory is that
thank
one day this man's going to get out the
thank
house
you.
And go swinging with his wife.
Thank you for that. Yeah. I want to know what the agreement and the conversations were before.
Yeah, look. This is the Black Bi Reality Podcast. So I have to assume that this is a very accepting podcast for maybe certain lifestyle choices as well.
Honey,
so
we covered couple to thruple, okay?
I remember. So when I saw it, I'm not even going to lie to you. That was one of the few ingratiating moments for Kenny with me. I was like, oh, okay, that's nice. You know, like.
Exactly.
I like a little spice, you know, like spice it up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it on the hashtag.
I said, you went to hedonism.
Yes. People were like, that's expensive.
It's what, $400 a night? And also, you a drug cop. At hedonism, baby, it's nothing but drugs there. That's all them people do. You think people swinging sober? You think they swinging sober? That, sorry.
I'm sorry. What does being a drug cop mean? Honestly.
Well, he's Well, yeah, because well, his whole thing was, I became a cop because drugs, da 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 da, and I want to show. I was like, are you a DEA agent? Like, what do you mean? But he said, yeah, he wanted to keep drugs off the street. But I said, but you be a hedonism. Are you doing your? You must have been off the clock at that point. Like you're like, all right, what happens at hedonism stays at hedonism. Because sir, you was not on, you went on duty at hedonism, and you a drug cop. Sorry.
Oh my God, casting idea for Big Brother. If you want your romances,
right?
A full swinger season.
At least three. You need at least three pineapple people in the, you know, in the house. At least three of them.
I think, but you need to swing. You have to have a partner, so it needs to be at least four.
Yeah, but you won't get no real drama. Well, you will, because there's gonna be one left out anyway. Yeah, yeah, for sure. Once somebody's not gonna be everybody's cup of tea. Every swinger ain't for everybody.
But you have to get them on the same page.
You do, and you need at least one self-proclaimed unicorn too. You know, you just need one that's just like, I'm here.
That's an alliance right there.
There you go. That's the couple of the throuple alliance. Yes. You know.
Oh my god. Oh my god. I would love that. I think that's all we have to say about that.
Hey.
We still have so much more Big Brother to go. So hopefully you'll be back.
Yes. Talk. Whenever you have me.
Okay. Where can people follow you, Chappelle?
People can follow me on Twitter and all other social media at Recap Kickback. It is the name of my podcast. And I, on my podcast, I'm talking about random shows. I try to center a lot of Black content because we don't get a lot of that. But I talk about a lot of scripted shows. I talk about movies, TV, and music. And Nicole, you have graced my podcast and with some of our best content. Obviously, the Beyonce podcast is still being talked about to this day. The Cowboy Carter content. We got to get you back on again, yes. Nicole, as well. But yeah. Yeah. So people can subscribe to Recap Kickback, recapkickback.com/subscribe, or go to our YouTube page, youtube.com/@recapkickback, to keep up with all of that. We're talking House of the Dragon right now as well. So we do a little bit of everything, but I try to keep new, fresh content. Right now I'm focusing on the Olympics a little bit. So this is Simone Biles documentary that we talked about and some other things coming your way. But I really appreciate you inviting me to come talk to you anytime. Anytime you need me, I'm down.
Of course, of course. And if you are a new listener or viewer, this is the Black by Reality podcast. We talk about reality TV through a Black queer lens. I am separating these videos. So this video is about Big Brother, but we also just filmed about Love Island USA. So I hope you check out both. And yeah, follow Black by Reality across all socials. Please subscribe and ring that bell. We're doing exit interviews for Big Brother, so you want to get them first thing when they come out. And other than that, we are going to cover Love is Blind UK. We crossed the pond.
Yes. Sounds like fun. Love is Blind is always a fun show for me to watch other people talk about. So I'm very excited to see what y'all have to say about this.
Yes. So I will be joined with Quita Tinsley again for that. And yeah, that's pretty much it. See you guys.
Bye.
Bye.